This is Jeff J. Brown, China Rising Radio Sinoland, and the founder of Seek Truth from Facts Foundation and the China Writers Group. I keep hearing a lot of course, the West spends billions of dollars to put out fake news and to try to trash China and the Chinese people because they can't compete on a level playing field, so all they can do is try to publish as much big lie propaganda machine vomit as they can to trash them. And I've been seeing more, you know, again, articles about, you know, China's shaky economy and the real estate bubble is coming around the corner and, you know, nobody can find a job and the place is going to hell, you know. Well, I just was there for a month, the entire month of May, and I can tell you that it's until you see it, you can't believe what's going on there, and it's not bad news; it's good news. And what the economic system, the socialist, the communist socialist economic system, and Confucius, the Taoist, the Buddhist, you know, backed by Buddhism. Buddhism, Taoism, and Confucianism to help to serve the people. Mao Zedong famously said, serve the people. And that's what Xi Jinping and every other leader in China has said going back 5,000 years in so many words, serve the people. And I saw a headline, Beijing announces the equivalent of U.S. $41.5 billion in financing to help reduce excess housing inventory because of COVID and the economy slowing down from, you know, 8% and 10% now down to 4% and 5%. There was an overbuild of houses, apartments, and houses. And of course, everybody says, oh, look at all those empty houses. Well, you know, my wife and I and our daughter actually lived in one of those ghost cities in Beijing from 2010 to 2016 before we moved to Shenzhen for 3 years. And it was a ghost town when we got there. And 3 years later, it was, you know, filling up with people and businesses and everything else. So the first thing you need to understand is that empty housing doesn't mean squat in China. Why does it not mean squat? Because all of the banks are owned by the people. All of the green land, you can't buy dirt in China. You cannot buy dirt. All you can do is get a 70-year lease on green dirt or the building that's on it, just like a McDonald's will get a 100-year lease in the United States or Europe, you know, for a property. And in England, you know, the royal family and the aristocratic upper crust own something like 90-something% of the land. And from what I understand, most of the English have, again, long-term 100-year leases. So this is not unusual, but instead of the king and the queen owning it in England, it's owned by the people. The dirt is owned by the people in China. Not only do the people own the banks and all of the green land, they also own all of the insurance companies. All of the insurance companies are nationalized. And China is building millions and millions and millions of low income, they call it, for us it would be low income subsidized housing. And so I saw this, you know, what, you know, who, you know, there's no other country although the United States will do anything, and Europe, what, you know, Western capitalist countries will do anything to save the bankers. They don't give a damn about the people, but they will do anything and everything they can to save the bankers. But this is actually financing to help the people to buy their house for the first time. The other problem for China is that between 85% and 90% of the people already own their first home, and of those, around 70% have them all paid off. So there's not as many people as you think that need a house, but there's still a lot of young people coming into the economy that do need one. But the fact of the matter is that the vast majority, 90% of the Chinese actually own their own home. And again, 70% of those have actually paid that they owe no debt. They have no debt. They own their properties free and clear. And so I'll leave this link here. And then the other one another interesting article I saw, more than 50 cities relax housing pro by house home buying policies. So they can do anything they want. The people own the banks, the people own the properties that they're the dirt that they live on. They own the insurance companies. So they can do whatever they want. They can call, have mortgage interest, they can lower mortgage interest rates, they can lower down payments, or they can raise down payments, they can do tax abatements, or they can raise taxes if they're trying to cool off the economy, cool off the housing market. They can call off, they can have loan payment holidays where people don't have to pay anything for 6 months. They can do anything they want because they own all of the levers that control the property market. And what's really interesting, it's not national. Each province and sometimes even cities will actually implement their own policies. It's not one big national thing, but they will do it tailored to the local conditions and what the people need. And the other thing also that is making it putting a bit of a damper on the housing market in China is they don't want people investing in rental apartments and rental homes. They want everybody to have one home, and because they do not, houses are for people to live in and not to and to own and not to invest in and speculate in. So there's another area where in China, you have what's called the hukou, HUKOU, which is like your birth certificate, and it's tied to where your family was originally from. It's more difficult to buy property in China if you're not in the same province as your hukou, and so they can also do that. They can relax the hukou requirements. They can do anything they want. There will never, ever be a housing bubble and a housing crash in China. It cannot happen. When you own the banks, you own all the land, and you own all the insurance companies, and the people do. You own everything. You have total control over the real estate market. If a company like Evergrande, which you may have been hearing about, has gone bankrupt. It's a private real estate company. Well, first off, they actually fined the owner $500 million for his malfeasance. And the state will go in and nationalize all of that company, any private real estate. They will come in and nationalize it. And instead of giving it to Bank of America and Citibank and Barclays and giving those assets to trillionaire banksters for 10 cents and 10 cents on the dollar or 10 centimes on the euro, they will actually put that portfolio into state-owned enterprises, which means these are massive corporations owned by the people because they're state-owned. And so then they will take over that real estate right off any bad debt that there may be, make sure that the people who are buying their first home are made whole and don't lose anything, any outside investors, Western investors, Chinese investors in the stock market, they're going to lose it all. And I'm sure that the people who have bought second and third apartments for speculation are going to take a haircut too. But the people who are buying their first home are always made whole and have no losses. So then that state-owned company will reallocate those real estate assets to their sub-companies, et cetera, and get them into the hands of people who need to buy their first home. So I don't, you know, it's so hard for Westerners to understand this. This is not a capitalist country. This is a communist socialist country. And I went back and looked at my posts. In 2015, I was on the show Wall Street for Main Street telling them this. Then in 2017, I was on Kenneth Amaduri's show, Crush the Street, and explaining this to him. Then in 2022, I have one titled, China's Real Estate Sector is a Bursting Bubble Collapse. Here we come. Really? And of course, it never happens. It can't happen. Then and also in 2022, there was all this garbage about how Chinese banks were going to go under. How can they go under? They're owned by the people. And I have a run on Chinese banks. Don't believe the West's big lie propaganda machine. It can't happen since the citizens own them all. This is not capitalism. This is communism, socialism. And then so 2015, 2017, 2022. And then I have another one. China is going to collapse. Not really. Here's why it can't happen. And I wrote that in 2023, about 8 months ago. It can't happen. It's just not going to happen. So anybody that tells you that and has the Chicken Little complex about the Chinese economy, who are just salivating for something bad to happen to the Chinese economy, it's not going to happen. In one of these articles, I think it's maybe the last one, I show a chart where, like in 2017, right before COVID, the housing prices in China went up 50%, 50% in less than a year. I mean, you talk about a bubble? That's a bubble, baby. And in the next year and a half, they just took the air out of it, just took the air out of it, and the prices came back down to where they were before the bubble. A six-month bubble, 50% property index increase in value, and they let the air out of the bubble in a year and a half. You cannot do that in a capitalist economy. It cannot happen, but it can happen in a communist socialist country like China. And then another one that I just saw, you know, again down here, this is really, really interesting. There are people now who are saying China needs its own theory of an economic theory model, which is really not that new. It's Marxism. But Xi Jinping, the president, they're now calling what he has come up with. You know, he got a PhD in Marxism and Leninism. So I think he knows a little bit about Marxism and Leninism and what it can do for the people. They now are talking about Xiconomics, you know, XI Xiconomics, because what he has done for the country in a very tremendous transition from 10% growth now down to 4 to 5% growth, plus 3 years of economic practically, you know, very low growth during the COVID lockdowns. They're saying that they need to reject these are academic Chinese academics, economists in China, saying we need to reject Western capitalist economic theory and develop our own. And of course, it will be based on the bedrock of Marxism and Leninism and Maoism. And so that just goes to show you how different the Chinese economic model is. It is not the same thing. It is like the 18 cylinder Jaguar engine, you know, with the long hood, you know, running, just purring like a cat. Well, that's the Chinese economy compared to capitalist countries like in the West. In the Yeranglo land and South Korea, Japan, etc. And I can also go into the China's. I also talked about this. I'll maybe I'll even find an article or two about their debt. Their debt is a fraction of what it is in the West, and they actually manufacture and produce things and export things with value besides guns and color revolutions and armies and military bases. They actually make things and sell things for money. So and then finally there's an article: China committed to building high-level socialist market economy, laying a foundation for high-quality development. Again, China's communist socialist economy is not the same thing. It is a humming machine that works for the people. The economies in the West, will, like during the 1930s and 40s and 50s, you know, when capitalism got too greedy for its own good with the Great Depression. Okay, for those two generations, the capitalism helped the people. But by the time the 1970s rolled around, they were already trying to claw back what they gave during the Roosevelt administration and during the post-war in Europe. You know, that golden 30 years in Europe was great, you know, from 1945 to 1975. And then the capitalists start clawing it all back. You know, the banks start, you know, clawing it all back. And we see our quality of life and our economic opportunities and economic well-being falling in the West while they are increasing in China. Some food for thought and something to discuss with you and your friends. I've got all these articles here you can look at. And this is Jeff J. Brown, China Russian Radio Sinoland, founder of Seek Truth from Facts, and the China Writers Group. Bye-bye.